Okay, great. All right, we're going to move now to item 13. Request for revised wage scale for executive and senior management.
So it's been a number of years since the last wage study was done on management. Last one was done in 2018. Thank you very much. So a lot has changed in that time period. We have had with changes in economic vitality here in the community. We've seen huge cost increases to housing. We've seen changes in responsibilities for management positions as we've grown through Reimagine Metro. With that, in order for us to stay competitive as an organization, we need to revisit and reevaluate management positions, hopefully more frequently than we're doing now, but 6 years has been long enough before showing our appreciation to management for the work that they do. Their jobs are hard, like all jobs here at Metro. So I think it's important that that we recognize that and that we keep the ability to hire good people into those positions. And if we don't stay competitive, it's going to become increasingly more difficult in an already expensive community.
Lori and Chair, having been at the budget meeting, there were some things that were shared that I thought were really powerful and touched my heart, that some of the managers talked that when they were promoted, they actually took home less pay, and that people that they were supervising were making more. I mean, some of that, hearing from them and seeing that and thinking these are people that are managing, you know, in very responsible jobs, are not being compensated in the way they should. And just to echo what you're sharing, but having been at the budget meeting and hearing from them brought home to me even more. And even you sharing the, all your research that you thought, I'm prepared to move to Santa Cruz. And on paper, it looked like these numbers are good, but when you actually in reality are here, what you find. And I think that it's important that you bring this forward. We need these managers. We need them to fill. I know how much we struggle in Scotts Valley not to lose people to other jurisdictions. Going outside Santa Cruz County. And so I thank you for bringing it to light. And I wish that everyone could have heard from some of the people that, that we heard from at the budget meeting. So
thank you. Were you done with your presentation?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I'll echo those sentiments. I do believe we need fair wages across the board at all levels of staffing. At any agency, including here at Metro. I have some questions about process in the past, which you may not have answers to, Corey, given that you joined us recently, and process now moving forward. One, why have we waited so long? And is that typical? Before 2018, how long had we waited to do a wage study? Because I know with SEIU workers, there's a process in place and there's a timeline in place, but with management and directors, I'm unclear about what the process is, how often we can or should do them, and if there isn't one in place, and again, you may not know the answer to it, if there isn't one in place, would it be appropriate for us to maybe develop an ad hoc committee or just work with HR to put a process in place? So I don't know who can respond to that question. What have we done in the past?
So the last one that we did was 2018. Before that, it had been over 20 years. Unfortunately, I can't answer why it was over 20 years because I had just come in when they started the process. But I know there had not been one for over 20 years.
Okay. So I think that's a problem. We should put a system in place, and whatever the mechanisms are that we do that, let's put a system in place so that it's clear and transparent and available to everybody at the agency and to the public. My other question is, how do we select our third-party consultants? How do we vet them? And how long have we worked with them?
So in 2019, again, they were already halfway through the process when I, or I'm sorry, 18, when I started, they were already halfway through, but they had gone out for bid and got proposals from multiple places, and then they chose one. There was a ton of controversy just around that company, the way they did it and things like that. So we chose not to use that one moving forward. We went out for bid and got three more bids from other vendors and chose a vendor based on their experience in the industry, pricing, things like that. And we've been using that one since we did wage studies for union in 2019. So since 2019 up until now, we've used that vendor.
Okay, so the process was we went out for bid.
Correct.
And they were selected.
Correct.
In the system that we have in place for selection of bids.
Correct.
So when they do their analysis on any position at any level, whether it's SEIU or management, what happens with that analysis typically?
So we use the same 10 agencies that we've used since 2018, which are our sister agencies, transit agencies around our same size, some that are bigger because we do use like VTA and stuff too. But we have parameters that were established back in 2019, like what areas were going to be looked at. It's a total comp thing. So benefits, retirement, all of the bells and whistles that belong in a package. And all of those are looked at through each agency. And then the wages at that agency, the job description. So they look at the job description first, find the job description that most matches the description we're looking for. Or the job we are.
And then that gets translated to essentially that spreadsheet that we have in our blanket. Okay.
Can I understand that? Yes, my question.
Yeah.
Does the union agree, have a role in agreeing to which agencies we're going to use for?
Yes. Yes. They agreed in 2018 to the agencies. And then we actually just met and conferred recently when we started back with their, because SEIU has an article in their MOU twice a year. They get to pick positions and groups for studies. And so we just met and conferred on the results of the last one we did. And we reconfirmed the 10 agencies and they agreed to those.
Obviously, that's a key factor.
Like, correct. Absolutely. And the parameters that we use.
No, sorry, those are my questions for now.
And then last one, comments and questions. Yeah.
Don, I'd like to follow up. What is the timing for this latest SEIU wage study?
The time they get to choose positions in June and December.
So was it done in June?
No, it was not done in June because they did not submit their positions.
Okay, so another is coming up in December.
In December, correct. Mm-hmm. And we met recently the other day, and they informed me that they're going to be giving me those positions next week. So actually, they're going to be giving them early. We'll start them.
Okay. Sorry, I have a follow-up now to that. My understanding is that I think we are talking about two separate things, but obviously related. My understanding is that with those wage studies, there is a selection of two positions to study. Is that correct?
I'm going to look at Monique. The group of positions. So
a group of positions.
Group of positions, yes.
Okay.
In a family, it can contain between three positions. It may entail 18 to 20 people, depending on what they choose.
For example, the last one we did was the facilities group. And so because there was movement, it moved the entire facilities group. So it's the benchmark position. And then it moved like the facilities, the lead, the supervisor. So it moves the whole group.
Okay. And then my understanding from talking to some members of SEIU is that deadline was missed. There was a request for extension. An extension was given. But internally, they were working through a system that is, I think, still being figured out. I guess I'm getting to my question. Since it happens twice a year and there's a group of positions, is that window now closed for that set of positions that they could have requested for in June?
Oh, yes. So June, so they asked for an extension. what I said was, give me your positions. And then if we needed to extend for the comp piece, we'll talk about that. And then they never submitted their positions.
So, but is that still available?
Not for June. June is, I mean, it's okay. Already October, so they're going to submit for December.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
More questions? Now, is this process seems pretty complex sometimes. Is this a standard, something that's, is this a standard process in Metro and other agencies where you have twice a year that you submit?
I don't know. Are there contracts by the back, you know, offhand right now? I know I've talked to other agencies and they do not have anything like this in their MOU. I've talked to other CEOs. They don't have this in their MOUs. So it is a little different. They may have another process that they follow, you know, every so often for studies, but not in their actual MOU. So here we have it in our MOU.
Compare to that's similar to us. So that
one. I'm sorry?
No agency that we can compare to or look at it. Somewhere.
Well, the process is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
If they do it, the process is pretty much the same. But as far as that language being in an MOU,
right,
it's not very common.
That it's done twice a year. That right. This is unusual. Yeah. That.
Yes, outside of negotiations, yes, it is.
So most places, they do a compensation study as part of the bargaining process before the contract signed, and so you have agreement, you know, exactly what's going to happen. It's not set out for we're going to do this twice later in the year or whatever.
Correct.
And that's how they handle it. So, I mean, they don't do them. They just.
It's correct. Like, it's done at the negotiation of the contract.
Bargain, open end kind of arrangement that this will happen twice during the fall. I don't have a question. I'm going to make a comment. It's obvious that the folks from SEIU feel that somehow this process has not worked well for them. Whether, you know, they didn't submit the stuff when they were supposed to, whether, I mean, they may be unhappy with the agencies, but they had a chance to bargain that, and so that's a little late for that decision. I'm, you know, always trying to figure out how we can make people happy and make stuff work. And a lot of the claims and we received I got a phone call, I don't know who else did. Because of the Brad Act, I don't know what I'm speaking for myself. I have no idea what he wants to do around this question. But most of the claims that are being made here are not, on the face of them, actually appropriate for unions to be. They're not in charge of it. I mean, unions don't get to decide what the pay scale is for management. That's done by the board and with advice from the management team. The issue of whether, I don't believe that we were not transparent in the way the stuff was put forward. I don't believe we're facing a fiscal cliff that's so dangerous that we can't afford to pay people market rate for the work that they do. And as people know, when it comes to like bargaining with the unions, I also don't believe, because we're having tough times, is an argument for why you shouldn't pay people a decent pay increase, you know, even if everything else has to go to hell. You can't balance your budget on the back of workers and make them work for nothing to get away with it. So I feel strongly about that for the unions, but I feel that way about the management team as well. I was thinking that, like, you know, maybe if we had a month where the union asked for, like, do they have a month to think about, you know, they had several requests, but one possibility was, can we put this off for a month so we can think to understand more about it and so forth. I don't think we're going to learn anything in a month about our budget and whether we can or can't afford to pay our management according to studies that we've done. I just don't think that's going to make any difference. I don't think we've been hoodwinked or fooled into it. I don't think we're facing fiscal cliff that's so dangerous that we need to not pay people at this point, because, you know, the place is going to hell in a handbasket. I just don't think that's the case. On the other hand, I do think the unions are clearly unhappy about the way their process has worked out. I'm not in a position to understand the details of, like, you know, why did they not turn the thing on time? Did we play some role in that? Was that, you know, them? Why didn't the extension provide enough time? What other stuff we've done? I would like to ask our CEO, Corey, not whether he would be willing to sit down with the unions to talk about management salaries. It's inappropriate. It's not, they're going to get to bargain over that. and I'm speaking as a union activist and leader for all my life. But they do have a right to talk about their concerns about the way their wage studies are being done and so forth. And you know, they bargained it, and have, both sides have to live with that bargain. But I want to ask Corey whether he'd be willing to sit down informally with the unions, not wait a month or something, but at some reasonable time in the near future, and talk about their concerns about their comp study process and what's going on with it, and what it is we could do to make that better and make it work for them. Is that something you'd be willing to do? Or, I mean, you don't have to, because you're not required to bargain with them over that this month, because you can go to sit down informally and have that discussion with them about their concerns about that.
Absolutely. I'm willing to talk at any point, have discussions. So see if we can come to agreement and understanding of where we're at. So sometimes it works in the, you know, in the favor of the union, sometimes it works in favor of the Metro. But absolutely, I want there to be open communication.
Can I add to Corey's comment? I just, so that you are aware, we actually did sit down and redo that language. It was something we started in negotiations, but we weren't able to finish it in time. So myself and a member of the union worked for a couple months on language that we came to work for both sides. And then that was presented to the union by that union rep, and the union agreed. So then we all got back together and just had another formal meeting that we went over the language. They took it out to membership. It was agreed upon. So that language has changed a bit to where it works better. And that's what they wanted and what worked for us and all of that. And then Corey was actually in on that last meet and confer after the one study of positions was done and there was not agreement. But then we came to the table, we agreed on it. So we, just so you know, I mean, I know that we're always willing to sit down. Corey's always willing to sit down, but I think it's important for you to know that just a few months ago, we did sit down and we all agreed on it and did a side letter.
Well, I'll just say it's apparent to me that despite everybody's best intentions and efforts, people are unhappy and they're not feeling like there's something not right about, from their point of view, about what's going on with this. So there needs to be some more discussion about it, I think, and that needs to be taken, even again, not underestimating the importance of those things you've already done or tried to do. And the union did give credit to Corey and others for the recent bringing up the minimum wage for people, which I think our management's been responsive to the union stuff. I do want to say to the unions that I particularly the things that's behind this, that it's really critical when these things go sideways or badly, or you feel, you know, not this thing we're facing right now, but this process with the compensation studies and so forth. And there was some point, I believe, that either a curb charge was filed or threatened to be filed or whatever. That's the moment when you should be calling me and other board members, not just me personally, but board members in general. You know, it's not inappropriate to go around management on that level and say, we're unhappy. You know, we have this concern about this thing that's going on, and we're not getting, if you're not getting a response, you know, you're sort of asking for a meeting, and if they don't feel the meeting they're getting is adequate or whatever's happening, that's a time when I can try it, other board members can try and actually do something about it, not, and I'll use this term advisedly, hold hostage the management salaries as a way to get the attention of management. You've certainly gotten my attention and I think management's attention by this, but I don't think in the end we're going to get much out of a month of sitting around studying this. I understand the budget implications. I think the board did when they passed this, but certainly the committee that recommended it to the board understood. I read that budget carefully. I've served on a lot of boards and this one seems to take the financial stuff seriously. You know, so I think that's an important thing. So, although as I told the union, I'd be willing to certainly consider their concerns at the meeting today, I just don't feel moved that the appropriate thing for us to do is put stuff off for a month to study it further. I do think they should ask for a meeting with Corey, and Corey hope to go meet with them and talk about the actual concerns about their the compensation study issues that are out there. Those, I don't know, again, I don't know enough to know what those problems are and whether there's still other things that can be fixed within the parameters of what's been bargained. So that's my thought about this. Since I haven't talked to other board members, I don't want to like make a motion at this point. I want to see what other people want to do or whatever, but those are my feelings about the situation right now.
That's
I think Rebecca had a question and then we'll come to you.
This is more about process. At the very beginning, you said that we've seen significant changes in scope of management responsibility. I know that whenever we have HR committee meetings, you know, a lot of them have to do with a job that is now done that. And there's a compensation request and all that. And a little bit here, I'm trying to figure out how that hasn't happened with all the management positions over this. It's, you know, it just may have been circumstances. I don't know when you're talking about processes of reviewing entire, you know, and a periodic review. Do you have to do that if you're, you know, looking at each job position? Because I'd like to know how these jobs expanded in scope and responsibility. Do the job descriptions reflect that? I mean, how has that process, does it happen? Because to me, maybe this all could have been avoided if we just did it on a case by case, you know, as the job changes. You know, this person is now doing this, they have to know this system. And so mm-hmm. evaluate that job. I just kind of want to understand when we do that versus an across the board thing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. I mean, we can definitely do that moving forward on it. Typically with management, we're focused on all the other positions. And that's where, you know, our time focuses at. And that's why I think part of why these wage studies have been so far in between, because that hasn't been the focus.
Right. So maybe you have two things. You have the periodic review that happens every so often, and I'm sure your HR consultants can tell you what the other agencies are doing regarding that, and maybe an additional layer of, you know, hey, this job is, you know, outside of this regular review.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm going to just piggyback on what you were saying, Rebecca, that I think part of the challenge here is the lack of clarity around process. And so when it's time for a motion, I'd like to give additional direction that we articulate a clear process, whatever that process may be. The appropriate group can determine that, articulate a clear process for these wage studies at all levels of staffing within our agency, to the board, to SEIU, to SMART, to the public, just have that really, you know, decided on, presented, articulated. So I'd like to add that direction. And I want to make a comment, if I should, but I'm going to because I'm feeling called to. I take issue with some of the comments made earlier. I've served on a lot of boards and a lot of commissions, and this board is unique and special in a lot of ways because the commitment that I see visibly from staff at all levels is just tremendous. And so staff at all levels really deserve the dignity of the work that they're putting out for the community. I've said this before, the Metro is more than getting people from point A to point B. It's really about community well-being. I feel strongly about that. I knew nothing about transportation when I joined this board, and I've learned a whole lot in the last 3.5 years. I take issue with the comment around that our CEO is not from this community, and so therefore maybe insinuating that we should not trust our CEO. We've all had different journeys of how we got here. Mine was from Iran to Germany to Turkey to Sacramento to Santa Cruz. Not all of us were born at Dominican Hospital. So, right? You can't claim you're a local unless you're born at Dominican Hospital. My kids can claim that. I want to invite everybody to just take a moment and really kind of just reflect on what that means to be a part of this team, to be a part of Santa Cruz, to be a Santa Cruzan, whether you moved here 3 months ago, 20 years ago, or you were born at Sisters Hospital, Dominican Hospital. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wait, any further questions from other board members?
Yes.
I'll just offer, for my own sake, I'm saying this to Dawn, but I can't see her. Oh. The concept of knowing how we compare with other agencies is really valuable to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the studies look like. It's been a while since I've been on the HR committee, mm-hmm. but I would love to find a way that almost as a benchmark, there was some way that those findings on wages and positions might be provided to the board so we could compare with these other agencies and have some sense of, are we near the top? Are we in the middle? Just something comparative. It's somewhat less relevant to this particular issue, but it helps me understand where we fall in regard or in relation to those other agencies.
Provides a little transparency.
Transparency, but just a deeper understanding of are we really rocking it, or are we at risk of losing more people to MST or wherever else? That would help me have a better feeling about this. More information.
In my experience as a council member, like 26 years at the city, because we did these comp studies as part of the bargaining process, the board members actually got into the in closed session, as it was appropriate, into full discussions about, like, well, what are the job descriptions and the benchmarks and how does it compare and what, and, you know, which groups should be on this. Again, the unions also there had to agree to what the benchmark comparison cities were going to be. In this case, transit districts are going to be. But you got, that's where that took place. Because this is agreed that there's going to be this process of hiring consultants who will do the study, and then we get presented with it, and then, of course, you have the ability as a board member to dig into that, go find that stuff. It's not presented to us in the same way it would if you're in the middle of negotiations. And so maybe what we should do in the future is make sure that, you know, how we're going to do it, we're going to continue in the same way to bargain an agreement in, you know, that something will happen later in the year. Not during the actual bargaining of the contract, but after the contract's signed, and there's still some open-ended issues about how that stuff all going to work, there needs to be a little bit more board engagement at that point. So, because I've had the experience at this board and at the city, and, you know, seeing those actual comparisons and, like, and asking hard questions, you know, is this really a comparable job? Is it different? I mean, every job's not exactly the same. So the board, I think, does need and have confidence that that's what the, I think it's been a good process here, but I'm not close to it enough in the last 3 years to know sure about it. But I think we need to have board members have that confidence that they understand that the work comp study, probably the case study, is being done in a way that makes common sense, that the jobs are fairly described and people are being paid for the work that they do, not that they used to do or that somebody thought they did in some other city that's almost like what they do or something. So again, I have enough confidence in that to support the motion, the recommendation on this measure, but I think board members need that level of understanding, and we don't get it because it didn't happen in bargaining. It happened, it's arranged to happen after bargaining is completed. By agreement of both parties, it wasn't stuck, somebody got stuck in this or something.
That would just be brief and not reiterate what's been said. I agree with what's been said, but I just look at this, and the last time this was done on management 5 years ago, and it's about time. We hear this in the county all the time. You train them, you get them ready for 2 or 3 years, and they're out of here. We have to be real. You hear about the complaints of the housing costs and so forth. It goes on and on. That's not, we didn't cause that. We didn't cause the city or the county or wherever. It's just a fact. So we have to get real, whether it's management or not, how we get the best people we can. And I think we have excellent GMs and COs that fortunately they turned over. We love you, Corey. We're glad you're here. I'm not saying that, but we've lost some people that we shouldn't have. That were really qualified. So I think it's about time we do this. Let's get it done.
Back to the processes, I know we discussed a couple of boards about creating the management entering and things like that. And I don't know if Metro really had the luxury since 2016 and recovering and COVID to do that. But I think that would speak to some of the things you're saying about retaining people. They come here for a couple of years and then off they go. I think a lot of our employees told me, you know, Metro's my home, I've been here this long. And if we can keep that happening by saying, okay, and I realize there already is sort of the job path, but is there the mentorship and is there, you know, a formal some sort of way for people to say, yeah, I want to do that. How do I do that?
Yeah. There some mentor writing better than others, but I will say that a lot of our management team are previous union members. So Daniel promoted up, Brandon promoted up, Isaac, Michael, Monique, Christina, Freddie. So all of that, those managers here were previous staff members in the union. So we definitely want to promote within. That is our goal. When I first came, Monique was a union member, and she was lucky enough to be mentored by the position, the person who was in my position before they left. And so she was on that path. And then when I came, we continued that path, and I was able to promote her into my assistant role. So, and she's wonderful. So, I mean, that is definitely our goal.
All right. I have a couple questions. So the first one is that it was mentioned that the last bid for the vendor was in 2019. How often do we go to bid? Because in other agencies, it's every 5 years. Other agencies I'm a part of, we do it about every 5 years. Do we have a cadence for how often we go to bid for new vendors for this? Or do we just decide that it's time? Or is there a process there?
Typically, the way that, correct me if I'm wrong, but typically it's 4 years, and then we generally will have some 1 year extensions, or if the work that they're doing is good, we can continue that. But there comes a point where we'll need to go back out for bid.
Do we have plans to do? I'm only asking because this is 5 years.
Yeah.
So did we do a 1 year extension last year? Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't have the answer.
Okay. Yeah, if we could get some updates. I think generally what I'm hearing is that the board is kind of lacking in information and how this process works. And that kind of keeps us in the dark. And then we're hearing things, you know, from one person or another person or one side or the other side. And it's hard for us to kind of break through all of this information and figure out what's fact and where all these pieces are put together. I kind of explain it as like when you build a puzzle and you start with the edges, but the middle's not, it's not coming together in the middle. So I'm wondering, well, the union chosen positions and that wage study, will that come back to the board just so that we can better understand how this all works, like in a closed session or something along those lines?
Well, you will approve it if there's a move in salary. So the first step in that process is updating the job description. So once they submit their positions, we send them what's called a PDQ. And we send that to the worker, and the worker, along with coworkers or their union or their supervisor, will fill out this PDQ, and we make changes to the job description. And then we sit down with the union and make sure that there's agreement on the changes that were made. So we don't move forward at all until we're agreeing on all the language that was either put in or taken out. Once that's agreed upon, then that goes out for the comp piece of the study. And then when that comes back, we sit and we agree. And then once that's done, it comes to you. And we usually take it to personnel. Or if for some reason we can't take it to personnel, we may do consent or whatever. But at that time, all of that information would be there and we can answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if it'd be appropriate to have like a workshop or something where we can better understand all of this. I think it would be helpful. And then, in terms of the kind of negotiations during bargaining and what's happening outside of bargaining, in a lot of the other agencies that I work for, there's a management member, a union member, and then we have a third party, either a negotiator or mediator or someone from our counsel's office that acts, you know, as a negotiator or a mediator. Is that something that we have considered, either Julie or someone from our general counsel's office or some kind of other third party to kind of facilitate these processes? I know we do that in the city. We do it in other agencies I'm a part of. Do we have any third party, or is it just a management member and a union member and that's it?
It's a management and a union. We have used a mediator before back in 2019 negotiations when we came to a kind of a standstill. We did have mediation before we ended up agreeing and closing the contract. Okay, so we do do it during constant appraisals, but no, not for processes and then even.
Okay, I'd like some additional information about that, if that's something that the board could, you know, learn about and look into. How many positions does this increase impact? Looked like it was about 30. Is that right?
I don't think it's that many. There's a lot on there that are not active positions. So it moved it on the scale, but they're not active positions.
Okay. And are those part of the positions that we're going to be recruiting for, or are those staying open?
Okay.
Yeah, there was 30 on the sheet in the packet, but if some of them weren't active.
Inactive, unfunded, yeah.
Yeah.
There's quite a few that are inactive. Exact number?
8. There's 8 inactive?
On that.
That's what I'm seeing.
So there's 23 inactive?
No.
Or 22?
Yeah, I can do math.
Yeah, 22? Okay, thank you. And when does it go into effect? If it's approved today, when does it go into effect?
The next piece.
Okay. I think... Oh, the budget when I looked at that has a fiscal impact, and then the packet has a fiscal impact, and they're different numbers.
Yeah.
Is it because numbers were short up between now and then, or did we find out some more information? Check to you.
Yeah, so it's really headers. The budget packet that was presented for the board shows FY24 budget in relation to FY25 budget in relation to FY26 budget. Cover sheet was the impact from the adopted FY25 budget to the revised FY25 budget. It was a little bit apples and oranges when it shows the comparison.
Okay. I think that was all of my questions. All right.